Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the History Box. We're looking at the history of the bed. And this is the third episode. We're covering the Wikipedia page about the bed, so you can read along with us if you want to. We can all learn and grow together. I think we got one paragraph done, hadn't we? Or maybe two paragraphs last time.
Well, I want to skip ahead to what I regard as my favourite bit of the history of the bed.
This is your passion project. This is your passion project, Sam. So by all means, take control.
You know, the thing is, the lead. When I first discovered this Wikipedia page, I started tweeting it at you one evening because I was so excited. And I couldn't wait to discuss it with you. So this is probably one of the main bits I picked out at the time. But, of course, not everyone will follow our Twitter conversations. They've got other lives to lead. It's in the modern history section, if you're following this with us on Wikipedia. And it opens thus. In the 17th century, which has been called the century of magnificent beds, the style à la Duchesse, with tester and curtains only at the head, replaced the more enclosed beds in France. I've just remembered from that reference to à la Duchesse that we have on a non-History Box episode flagged this already, because that's how we came up with the idea of podding à la Duchesse and all the other things à la Duchesse.
Yeah, which is something else that we immediately dropped, even though it had a bit of legs in it, but we can come back to that.
Anyway...
By all means, repeat yourself. I don't mind.
The 17th century, the century of magnificent beds, immediately goes to the top of the chart as my favourite of all the centuries.
I mean, that's my favourite of all the sentences. In the 17th century, which has been called the century of magnificent beds, the style à la Duchesse, with tester and curtains only at the head, replaced the more enclosed beds in France. That in itself is one of the greatest sentences ever constructed.
Andy, have you ever slept in a magnificent bed? Now, let me be clear about what I mean by that. I don't doubt that your bed, your day-to-day bed, is magnificent because we are both serious investors in the comfort
We've
market.
We've put the effort in. We are,
My bed is, I do regard it as magnificent, but to look at it, it looks pretty good. In fact, it's made of metal. And the metal is gold. It's not real gold, no. A lot of people would imagine it is, but it is the colour gold. So it looks quite good. But what I'm talking about is a magnificent bed, like the sort with four posters or enormous headboards at the very least, with fucking curtains around it and all the rest of it. Have you ever slept in anything like that?
I haven't. I've never slept in a four-poster, which is a bit of a disappointment. Mm. Something I'll try and rectify one day, now that you've got a few podcast quids in the account.
Once we're all let go out again. Just one night. Just think, do you know
just
what?
Just one night and a four-poster. That's all I want.
I mean, up in your neck of the woods, up in the North of England, there will be magnificent country house hotels dotted around not far from you.
And you could just
think, fuck that. I'll book late night. With your logistical know-how, you'll probably get like a bargain like by doing...
Yeah.
If you book on the day and they've got a spare room anyway, you go, fucking give us it 30 quid.
Well, thing is, what I'd do is I would book the lesser rate, the lesser room, knowing full well the four-poster was available, and then I'd ask for an upgrade when I turn up. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, and you just, and you know, just it's like just for the experience. The comfort, it might not, you might not sleep better, you might not be more comfortable than you are in your own bed. Unlikely, I don't think anything really matches up to the comfort of your own bed, because your own bed knows you.
I will say, on my wedding night in 2009, long time ago, we the wedding reception was at Durham Castle, very swanky. We were paying it off for years after we'd even split up. But that's another story. And the bed in the, I think it was called the honeymoon suite, was very, very ornate and elaborate with a big headboard and everything, wood carved and all that. It wasn't four-poster, as I remember it.
But it is magnificent, I would say.
It was magnificent, but unfortunately we'd had a bit of an argument at the end of the night and it didn't, it wasn't
it
the
wasn't,
best wedding it was, night.
You didn't consummate things in the magnificent bed.
No. No, that didn't happen.
Wedding night sex is often a minefield.
That can happen a lot of times, I think, on weddings.
I wrote a thing about it once, because my wedding night fornication was a disaster. And really, if I'm brutally honest, that was the result of the amount of drink and drugs I had consumed on my wedding.
Right.
At my wedding disco, which was a magnificent disco.
A magnificent affair.
I got too carried away. I hadn't brought drugs to my own wedding. I'm not a monster, but known associates had. And next thing I know, I was plastered. But when I got in back to our, we just went back to our flat because we had a local wedding, right? We went on our honeymoon a few days later. I was like, right, we've got to, unfortunately, I know you're not going to want to do
traditional.
This.
Yes.
No one, listen, I don't expect you to want to do this, but as is, as per the tradition of these moments, we do have to consummate our marriage now. If not, we could actually get in trouble. Or the marriage could be annulled. And so I knew that my wife, my good wife, knows me well enough to think, she almost pitied me because she thought there is no way he is going to be able to perform. Yeah. But he clearly
it's
wants
just
to
indulge
try.
Him. This will be fun, if nothing
exactly.
else.
Exactly. Let him try. It was a mess, because the thing is, and a lot of fellas and ladies listening to this will know the situation, it wasn't just that I couldn't. It was the fact that I persevered trying, which just in the end became embarrassing and a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I've got it. I've got this, don't worry. And it went on and on and on. And it's like, mate, just give it up. No one's going to judge you. You've married her now. She's not going to leave you. Not now. I mean, she might do one day, but not today, not tonight. Just sleep easy and have another crack in the morning. But it was like, I was really insistent that I could do it, and I just couldn't, mate. And I was sweating, red-faced, just panting, wheezing mess of a man. And she must have thought, what have I done?
Yeah. But you'd lived together for a long time before that, though, hadn't you?
Yeah.
You
we've been together
what
for
you were
10,
capable of.
We've been together 10 years before we were married, so she was well aware of my ups and downs.
Yeah. There were no surprises.
Yeah, she knew what I was capable of when I was at my best.
Yeah. That was what she was clinging on to.
Yeah.
That was why she married you, because she'd seen you at your best. But then that night you weren't.
I was at
and she
my
made
worst,
allowances, and that's fine. Mm. I mean, I would imagine that more wedding night consummations have ended in disaster than have ended in triumph.
Yeah, exactly, because I think everyone, even if you're not like a massive like canehead or anything, most people will get battered on their wedding day.
Everyone's because, overstimulated, aren't they? Let's just say
because
that.
You're overexcited, so you're exhausted. Even if you haven't been drinking, you're mentally and physically exhausted from the high octane atmosphere of the day.
The adrenaline rush.
I mean, hey, listen, if you feel that you've performed to your very best sexually on your wedding night, by all means, get in touch and tell us about it, right?
Yeah.
But I doubt there'll be many who go, yeah, I gave myself 10 out of 10 that night.
And my wife will back that up. My wife, but to whom I'm still married.
Some couples do this. They say if you're a wedding at a hotel where everyone's sort of staying at the same place, and they'll have a wedding on site, and then they will go off, and then that'll be like what, midday or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then they go, right, the reception is it 2 o'clock? And so you've got a couple of hours to kill, and the couple, cheeky cunts, sneak off back to their room, and they have it off then before they start getting picked.
That's the way to do it, isn't it? Yeah.
But the thing about that is then they walk back in and everyone's like, ugh, they've just been having it off.
See, that's never occurred to me before, so I wouldn't think that.
I do.
It's obvious, really, isn't it?
Look at them. Whoa, I hope they've changed their underwear.
But, I mean, yeah, they'll have to have a shower afterwards. But if it's only a couple of hours, the window that they've got to pretty much get it over with quickly in order to get a shower and then get dressed up again. She's got to do her hair and makeup again.
Plus,
is it worth
it? You need a long snooze afterwards. I mean,
well,
I
exactly,
do.
Yeah.
For
and
me, that's at least 50% of the appeal.
Yeah.
It's like the lovely sleep you get in the aftermath.
2 hours doesn't feel like enough, I don't think.
Well, but, certainly for the actual act itself, personally speaking, it would be more than enough. But if it, but in terms of the sleep and the shower, and then I might want to make myself a cup of tea or a coffee to
you've got to have a cup of tea.
Revive myself. Yeah, it could be quite... That would be the real... the time hog.
Time vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are we on this?
The other thing on that wedding, I was so pissed. I remember as I was leaving, we'd put a thing on the invite of no wedding presents. We hadn't had a wedding list because at the time, I sort of thought, it's so fucking expensive going to people's weddings. So, and we only had a small flat. I was like, I don't need a load of new fucking crockery, right? So it was more like just fucking spend the money on a new shirt or something. And but as I was leaving, my brother-in-law, who's younger than me, and at the time I suppose was pretty, you know, still pretty young, he's in his 20s, he stumbled up to me, pissed, right, I fuck it, I know you said no presents and that, right, so don't tell anyone about this, but I'll put something together for you. And he stuffed, like, really bad, like the last stragglers at the disco, right? He was like, everyone else had long since got a cab home. He was like, I'm the last there. And he's just shoved into my hand a load of crumpled up notes, like money. But he hadn't done it in an envelope, right? That's how I always think to this day that he must have thought of it on a whim. But if he did, it was amazing because there was £100, right?
Nice.
So he had £100 that he'd been carrying around in his pocket all night.
Walking around money, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got at the end of the night, come here. He's done all that. Have this. I insist. Have it. And I've gone, fucking all right. Fine, mate.
Cheers.
Squirreled it all in my fucking pocket.
You're meant to do the dance, aren't you? And go, no. We said no presents. We're sticking by it. Go on. Take it.
I think he might have expected that. I went, fuck it. Yes, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. See you later, dickhead.
That'll help pay for some of this.
It was all scrunched up. That's what I remember about. It was all like all over the place, all messy, and I was dropping bits of it on the floor. But I got
it. So he hadn't gone round and done it. He hadn't gone round and done a collection around friends and family.
No,
it
was
just all out of his own pocket.
Yeah, that's me. To you. You can't, right? So I stuffed it all in my pocket, and then we got a mini cab. It wasn't that glam. We just picked up a sort of a passing kind of dodgy mini cab off the street outside where we'd had our disco.
Which is illegal.
Yeah, but there was illegal mini cabs. In those days, you don't get that much anymore because of Uber. And and it was only 5 minutes around the corner. So we went around the corner. We got into the flat. I started attempting and failing to have Congress with my new wife, my bride. And then, just to make matters worse, I think after I finally gave up, I sort of went, I'm just going to hang my suit up because it's a brand new suit. You know, well, where's that £100? And my wife was like, what £100? I wasn't supposed to tell you, but your brother gave me £100 as we were leaving. And the whole fucking £100 was gone. And it had dropped out of my pocket in the fucking minicab.
No.
So that fucking illegal minicab driver who was just trawling around looking for, like, fares late at night.
Fucking hell.
We've got in and he was probably gutted because we've said, oh, we're going round the corner to where we lived. And he's like, fuck me, that's like a tiny fare. I'm gutted that I stopped for them. But then he's fucking clocked the back seat later that evening and there's £100 or his next passenger got it. But as you can tell, that still rankles, mate.
I'll bet. I mean, who says crime doesn't pay? Do you know what I mean? Illegal fare. Big win.
He got a fucking oneer for a 5-minute journey.
It did. Right. Yeah,
more
so
bed.
Where are we? The bed?
We're on beds. So
I'll let you take control again. Go on.
Notable examples. One of the largest beds in the world is the Great Bed of Ware. We've talked about this before. It's mentioned in Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. It's in the Victoria and Albert Museum. Victoria and Albert Museum is just around the corner from me. We can go there any time once lockdown's over and have a look at this bed. In 1882, an Indian Maharaja had a bed made of solid silver. At each corner of the bed, there was a life-size statue of a naked woman holding a fan. When the Maharaja lay on the bed, his weight started a mechanism that made the women wave their fans.
That's the world's best bed. It's the world's best bed. And that is the ultimate bed for the single man.
Yeah.
Because you can just lie on that and it provides, I'll be frank here, it provides a masturbation stimulus.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Also, it's like, so when are you going to get yourself a woman? I don't need one. Have you seen the bed? I've got statues. They're much better. They look the business. They were designed to me on specification, right? They do fanning at me, right? All I have to do is wiggle my ass around. And they do not give me a moment's fucking earache.
No fucking verbals whatsoever. I am living the fucking dream. Solid silver they are. Lovely. Just need a bit of polishing now and again. Fucking hell. In 1865...
Iron beds appeared in the 18th century. The advertisements declare them
just,
as...
You've just skipped over something, Sam.
Oh, yeah,
under that paragraph.
Yeah,
in 1865, a convertible bed in the form of an upright piano was available. I think this sounds widely available, which could provide home entertainment while saving space.
That's a
great
idea.
It's a bed and it's a piano. What do you think of that?
I came up with it because we were having an argument, me and the missus, about what to invest in for the house, and it was a choice between a bed or a piano, and I was all for the piano because I love music. And she was like, yeah, but I'm sick of sleeping on the floor. So we were going back forth. In the end, I thought, hang about. Maybe I could make a hybrid of the two. Keep us both happy. So in the morning, as soon as we wake up, she brings me my tea. We flip out the fucking piano and I'm fucking sat there in my jammies.
Having a sing-song.
Yeah, having a nice sing-song. Roll out
the fucking
barrel.
That, I hope that Chas Hodges, the late Chas Hodges from Chas and Dave, invested in one of those. Because he was married for a very long time. So I hope that's the kind of thing that would keep a marriage alive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I'm thinking of that, but I might have mine more of an electric organ or synthesizer.
Yeah. I'd like one that turns into a pool table. That'd be good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Talking of pool, mate, this is something I forgot to ask you. Someone tweeted, I'm not sure if they even tweeted at us, but I saw it this morning and it came back from nowhere, a memory of a TV show that I was like, fuck, I remember that. But it had been totally eradicated. But I need more detail, which you will be able to provide me better than Google. Because you'll be all over this show.
Bit of pressure, yeah, go on.
Hang on, let me just remember the exact name of it. Here we go. It was called Give Us a Break, and it starred Robert Lindsay and Paul McGann, and it was set in the world of snooker, and it was on the BBC in the 80s.
Yeah. That's
what
all I remember about
me?
It as well. I don't remember much about it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get it. Someone just tweeted that they got it for their birthday along with a copy of Mojo magazine. And I thought, fucking hell, this geezer has got it made. Right? It was from his family. And I thought, this geezer is fucking living our kind of lifestyle. Right?
He's reveling. He's reveling in his age. He's not trying to be something he isn't.
He just wants
he's
a copy of Mojo.
Nostalgia.
What do you want, Dad? You still haven't told us. To be honest, I'd be perfectly happy with the usual. A copy of Mojo and DVD of Give Us a Break, starring Paul McGann and Robert Lindsay. Give me that and I'm a happy man.
Quite tempted to buy it myself now. 1983, yeah.
Yeah. I feel as if it was a rip-off of, like, The Hustler or The Colour of Money, although I think The Colour of Money came out a few years later, so maybe Scorsese was on a publicity tour for one of his other films, and he saw an episode of Give Us a Break when he was in his hotel room, thought, you know what? I'm going to get Tom Cruise and Paul Newman and make this into a movie.
Yeah, yeah, he probably thought, you know, The Hustler, that was great. Now they took it to a new level with this Give Us a Break thing with the guy from Citizen Smith. So what
and
I
the
can
guy
do
from
is...
The Manicured Mutineer.
So let's take it to another level and get it back in the movie cinemas. And then he did The Colour of Money. Yeah. All the episodes appear to be on Daily Motion. Have given us a break.
Right.
I don't think they're on YouTube, but they're on Daily Motion, which is the kind of like the fucking YouTube of the dark web, if you like.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're all on there. 48 minutes long, each episode.
There's another actor, I don't know if you've seen the cover of it, but there's another actor who always, I can't remember his name, but he always played a hard man in loads of 80s dramas.
Right.
Have you seen this picture?
No.
Right, I'll tweet it and people might tell me more.
Jalapeño.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
Let's get back to beds.
All right.
In August 2020, scientists reported the discovery of the oldest grass bedding. Oh, we've done this. Okay, let's get to another bit. Beds found in a preserved northern Scottish village, which were raised boxes made of stone and lightly topped with comfortable fillers, were dated between 3200 BC and 2200 BC. There's just nothing really to go into there, other than it was the Scots who invented the bed, like they invented the telly and the internet.
Where are we on the page? Are we on the types
Europe.
Of the bed page near the bottom?
Scroll up to Europe.
Europe?
I'm jumping all around. These are European beds.
I'm not sure I'm on the same page as you here. I'm just on Wikipedia/bed.
This is Wikipedia/bed. Yeah. If you scroll down from the top, there's a section under history.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
That says Europe.
Bit, yeah.
Okay. So the Scots, it turns out, are likely to have invented the modern bed, having invented the internet and TV. They've got the fucking lot.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the triumptive of any decent rig, isn't it? These are the basics. You need the internet, a telly, and a bed. And Scottish people invented all of it.
And as I said in yesterday's episode, I'm very, very in tune with the Scottish people, and I'm clearly trying to weasel my way into some kind of northern superstate that they might create.
You're fucking fishing for a Scottish passport when they go independent.
Oh, I love Scotland. I holidayed in Scotland regularly as a boy.
As soon as lockdown's over, I'm fucking straight up to the Isle of Skye to basically retread the footsteps of Terry Nutkins and Johnny Morris in that special of animal magic that we watched.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be a good thing for us to include a bit of that in the forthcoming Brown John event. Streaming live on 18th of March. Get your tickets via our social media channels or website.
Mini deep dive of that. Yeah, let's do that. And if you're IFS, you've got a special code, which we'll have posted in the IFS Patreon page, which means you get it a couple of quid cheaper.
Yeah, so what's to lose with that? We might do some show and tells. You might even get to see one of our beds. I doubt, to be honest, it's very unlikely my wife will sanction that, but you never know.
Well, yeah, I'm certainly not sure mine off.
Ancient Roman mattresses were stuffed with reeds, hay or wool. Feathers were used towards the end of the Republic when custom demanded luxury. Small cushions were placed at the head and sometimes at the back.
Coming together, isn't it? The modern bed as we know it here is coming together.
Yeah.
you know.
But it wasn't until box springs were invented, really, was it, that we got, like, the real modern bed.
That was a massive leap forward, I guess. Sir John Box Spring,
yeah.
1862.
I mean,
took it to a new level.
If you think of it, right, I like a firmness to my mattress. I don't know whether you get soft, medium, or firm. I get the firmest I can get. For me, it's just more comfortable. A feathered mattress? Nah. Unless you're, like, fucking filling it with a hell of a lot of fucking feathers so it almost becomes turgid.
Mm. Well, mine's a memory foam one.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So it's got that firmness, but it's also got a little bit of give in it. So it caresses you and cradles you.
Mm. The Odyssey, which is a book that one day we will deep dive...
It'll be our ultimate piece of work, I think.
It will,
our final piece of work, perhaps.
It's a cracking read, right? We've all read it at least once.
Is it Audible?
It's a right rollicking read. It's full of laughs and hijinks, sexy bits, the lot. The Odyssey describes the bed of its protagonist, Odysseus, and explains that he crafted the bed for himself and his wife, Penelope. Woo! Oh, posh wife.
She sounds
like her nice. Out of Just Good Friends. He fashioned a bed for him and his wife Penelope out of a huge olive tree trunk that used to grow on the spot. The poem's presumed author, Homer, also mentions the inlaying of the woodwork of the bed with gold, silver and ivory. Fucking hell, if this don't get her in the mood, I don't know what will. Carved out a fucking olive tree and filled it with gold, silver and ivory. She's still like, it's dead on comfy.
I've even picked some olives off it and I'm going to give her them after we've done it. Fancy an olive? They say you've got to eat 9 in a row before you really get the taste of them. They're not for everyone.
And watch out, there's stones. I couldn't get the pitted sort. So don't fucking swallow it. I gave one to the doctor.
I just fucking picked them. I just picked them now.
I can't fucking stone it for you too. It's simple. Just suck off the fleshy bit and spit the stone out. But do be careful, because I fed some to the dog the other day and it dropped dead, choked and died. Terrible. Which apparently it would have done anyway, because olives are poisonous to dogs, but I didn't know that at the time. Ancient Roman mattresses were stuff... Oh, we've done that.
Yeah.
The counterpiece was sometimes very costly, generally purple embroidered with figures in gold, and rich handings fell to the ground, masked the front. The bedsteads themselves were often bronze inlaid with silver. That's a bit over the top. And Elagabalus had one of solid silver. Don't know who he was. In the walls of some houses in Pompeii, bed niches are found which were probably closed by curtains or sliding partitions. Ancient Romans had various kinds of beds for repose. These include
various beds.
Okay, I'm not going to go into that, but I do... The thing about the four-poster bed... I think the point of it, I have stayed in one before, but the key thing was it had the four posters, but it didn't have the curtains. And I think that the four posters were invented in order for you to have curtains. So what you'll get...
curtains on, yeah. I mean, there's very little point otherwise.
It's just a bed, and effectively it's got four sticks at each corner.
It's a bed, it's just a fucking bed with a roof on it, isn't it? If you haven't got the curtains, and then what's the point of that?
There's something, the idea of being in a bed and it having a privacy curtain that went all the way around, a bit like you get when you're in hospital, yeah?
Yeah.
And being able to do it, right, if that's what you're using the bed for. And, of course, there are a number of different uses for beds, not just doing it. But you were doing it with the curtains around you, other people in the room, but they can't see you. Does that appeal? It does to me. I quite like that idea. That there's a frisson to that, isn't there? There's a jeopardy mate.
Well, it kind of is, but then everyone's sort of in on the joke almost, because then they know what you're doing. Would you be quiet? Would you do it quietly?
Yeah.
You would.
I'd whisper.
So you would do it. You'd close the curtain and you'd be doing it, but you'd be doing it so quiet so they didn't know.
Noisy.
They'd be wondering if you were doing it, but they wouldn't know for sure unless they came right up close to the curtain and had a listen.
And that, for me, that's the thing.
That's the ultimate thrill.
There'd be no point having the curtains and then giving it like, oh, yeah, yeah, bloody great, great bloody sex, this.
We're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it.
Yeah, do it. Sex. Nah. I mean, obviously, that's my usual MO in the bedroom, but not in a four-poster.
Not in a four-poster. Yeah. I suppose so, yeah. It's a power thing, isn't it? They don't know if you're doing it or not, and you know that you are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that they're wondering.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I've got
just
something
that list
over
of,
them.
That list of Roman beds there was one that stood out there for me, which was Lectus Discubitorius, the table bed on which they ate. For they ate while lying on their left sides.
Yeah.
There usually being three people to one bed, which in itself is a bit racy. With the middle place accounted the most honourable position. So they're lying on their left sides and they're eating in the bed. I don't know what the situation is with crumbs and stuff, whether someone comes along then afterwards.
They've probably
gives
got
it
a slave.
A full sweep. Yeah.
Nowadays, I'd use my handheld vacuum device.
Dustbuster.
Yeah. Dustbuster. Dust devil.
Yeah.
I keep that next to my bed at all times anyway. You just never know when it might come in handy.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most important part of your house, so it needs to be there, doesn't it? Keep it clean and tidy. There was a studying bed, a funeral bed on which the dead were carried to the pyre, and there was the normal bed. So the Romans...
Boring.
Well, the Romans took the bed to a new level, didn't they? The Romans had it right. The Romans are very much in with the just rest philosophy, I think. Apart from when they're having big parties and orgies. Yeah,
the bosses were, but they had the fucking rest of them out bloody invading places non-stop.
Yeah, a lot of admin. A lot of admin where you're invading.
Imperialism is like the opposite of the just rest sort of lifestyle in a way. Mm. Because it's like, you've already got Rome. Rome's the best place in the world because you've invented fucking toilets and roads and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you don't need any more. But it's the ultimate sort of, yeah, but at the same time, why don't we fucking invade loads of other places? And you go, what difference does it make to you, mate? You're all right here. You've got everything you need. And like Caesar or whoever it is like, no. I think we should invade all these other countries. Go all across Europe.
You can see their mentality, though, because if you've invented roads, what are you going to want to do with them? Build loads of them, aren't you? And you can't build roads unless you own the land to build them on. So you've got to invade.
Mm.
You can't just build roads round and round and round where you fucking already live.
They'd have been better off saying, look, turning up to, you know, the sort of backward folk who were living here in Britain at the time.
Yeah.
And gone. I mean, it would have been hard communicating with them, admittedly. Right, but you've gone, listen, we've invented this thing called roads. You can pull horses and carts along them, anything. Makes everything easier. We want to build them here. You can use them for free. But we want to use them as well in case we ever need to come here. Which, to be honest, is fucking unlikely because looking around at the place, it's a shithole.
Yeah. I think that because that language breakdown... The communication problem was probably why they just invaded, because it's just easier.
Just, you know, fuck it, just invade it.
Yeah, well, these cunts don't understand a word we're saying. We might as well, and they look a bit fucking slow-witted anyway.
Yeah.
We might as well just invade the fucking place and put the roads down anyway.
It was really easy to invade, I think, as well. I think it was really easy to invade. Apparently, the only place that they had trouble with was Wales.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Was it the hills?
No, apparently the Welsh were just like proper mental about it.
Fuck this. Yeah, we're not.
And they were
this.
Like, you're not fucking coming in here, sunshine.
Yeah. But then they did in the end.
I think they got in there in the end, but apparently someone told me, probably a Welshman, might have been Kinnock, told me that they put up the biggest resistance was the Welsh.
Yeah. Well, I think they all say that, don't they?
Yeah.
They don't want to be seen to have been just fucking rolled over. But we'll leave it there. I think.
I think we've completed the history of the bed. Now we'll move on to the next bit of history in the next history box.
I mean, there is a little bit at the bottom there which is called types of beds. Is there anything there that stands out? We've got adjustable beds, air beds, a bassinet, a bed especially for newborns, box bed, brass bed, bunk bed, loft bed, camp bed, canopy bed, day bed.
Daybeds have become quite fashionable now. Like, if you go on IKEA, there's a section of daybeds. You're like, I what's this? And I'm not entirely sure what it is. I think it's just like a sofa that you lie on. But I lie on all sofas anyway. I don't need a separate type for lying. If there's an opportunity, no. If the sofa's empty, don't know about you, maybe we'll do the history of the sofa next, but if the sofa's empty, right, I will never sit on it.
I'm lying on the fucker, yeah.
I'm lying on it. I paid for it, and it weren't fucking cheap either, my sofa, right? I got it from John Lewis, and when you order it, they make it to order, so you have to wait fucking 6 weeks. So once it turns up, I'm not just going to perch on it. Oh, just sit here in my little space.
It seats three. I'll sit on the end.
In case other people want to sit beside me. No, I'm fucking lying on the cunt. There you go. Ah, lovely.
Full length.
Stretch out. I fucking worked hard for this. Pod, 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 pod. Now I'm going to lie.
You could sit on the floor.
Sit on your fucking beanbag. That's what I got it for you.
So, yeah, there's the hammock, which, of course, is a big part of my life
well
now.
Documented.
And I'm looking forward to the hammock season. Should be starting again soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
There's just a load of
beds. We've talked about how great they are. That's listed here. I mean, they're almost king of beds, aren't they?
And then down at the bottom, there's the vibrating bed.
Oh.
Very highly, it says it can be used therapeutically to ease back pain or as an erotic aid.
Yeah.
So
you only ever really see them in sort of motels in movies, don't you? I've never encountered one myself.
America, yeah.
And waterbeds as well. Have you ever slept on a waterbed? I haven't.
Never slept on a waterbed. No desire to sleep on a waterbed.
It just sounds nightmarish, noisy.
Yeah.
Can't get comfy, and just the constant fear that it could leak at any moment.
Exactly, yeah. A rogue pointed toenail could puncture it.
Yeah.
And then you're
exactly.
fucked,
don't you? Bang. Then in the middle of the night, you're woken up in the middle of a fucking tepid puddle. Disgusting.
Too much jeopardy. Too much jeopardy in the waterbed.
When I go to bed at night, mate, I want complete peace of mind.
Yeah. Of course. The only thing that can destroy that are your dreams. And they will, regularly.
They will. But I've had dreams so fucking scary that they've melted through the pillow and mattress.
I had a dream last night. I know we don't do dream chat's banned, but I was being showed around Liverpool by a couple of Scousers who I didn't know, and they were going to show me the best record shops, and we went to the first record shop, and it had no records in it. It was just a shop that had been set up by a couple of fellas, and one of them had a side room where he kept his favourite books in it. And that was it.
And that sounds like they were fucking winding you up, mate. Hey, Andy, do you want to look around? We'll show you where the best record shop in Liverpool is. Oh, yeah, cheers. All right, thanks. Yeah, come on, it's not much further. It's just down here. All right.
Come on.
Here you go. Go on. Go in and have a look around. There are no records here. Yeah, we know. You fucking idiot.
Right, time to go to the second one now. But I did. I made me excuses and went back to the train station before I got to see the second one. I told them my train was due.
I tell you what, mate, you made the right decision because those cunts were time wasters. Absolute fucking time wasters. Oh, sorry, we haven't got any records in stock at the moment. But if you go in that little room over there, you can see all my books. They're not for sale, though. They're mine. You're right, thanks. I'll go back to the station.
I worked at Outprice for 5 years. I know what a fucking record shop's meant to look like.
Yeah, and it's not like this. Well, what's it supposed to look like then, know-it-all? Well, for a start, it's supposed to have fucking records in it, you cunt.
I don't know. This is one of these modern ones. You know what I mean? That was... When did you work? In the 90s? Oh, it's all changed since then. We just have a room full of books.
Fucking no actual records. Come on, Grandad. Yeah, good little dream,
records,
that, mate.
Buy them online. So, that's that. That's the end of this episode. And the end of our look at the bed.
Yeah.
And I think we've done it justice. Next week we'll do a life logistics, catch up with some of them.
And then after that we will have another history box. We haven't decided yet. We've got a few contenders. You could even suggest something. We'd probably ignore it, but it's up to you.
Yeah, probably will. There we go. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye and enjoy the remainder of your day.
Remember, you're special because there's only one of you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.